Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Studio G and the Discussions for Women in Leadership. We'll continue our focus this week on how the styles and principles of an Omega leader can influence leadership and ultimately communicators that we're talking about this week. Here in the studio, once again, we have Lori Vez Jones, speaker, author of 14 books, and the book that will be leading our discussion today, Jesus CEO. Welcome, Lori Vez.
Thank you.
Representing the business pillar is none other than Vicky Arteaga. Welcome, Vicky.
How are you doing? Thank you.
And Elisa Holston, representing the education pillar. Welcome, Elisa.
Glad to be here.
So these weekly shows on developing women in leadership have become a passion for each of us here at Studio G, and this week is no different. We're going to jump in and look at the concept of winning communicators and how to become a winning communicator on any team. This leadership trait is really something that you have perfected over many years, Lori Beth. In one of your recent books, The Four Elements of Success, you have developed a very intuitive tool known as the Path Elements Profile. I'm sure our discussions will lead towards that tool during our time together tonight, but to get things off and running, remind us of the difference in what is termed the Omega leader before we introduce our subject matter this evening.
Well, the Omega leader is someone who transcends and incorporates both the alpha style of leadership, which is the authoritative, and the beta style, which is the cooperative. Jesus at times was very authoritative, and at other times he was cooperative, and at all times he was in connection with God, his Father, the higher power. So he said, I'm the alpha and the omega, the beginning and the end, not meaning the end of the line, but the full completion of all things. So the Omega leader is someone who has a multiple toolbox to choose from, if that's trying to get the thought out there, but has a multiplicity of tools to use as needed, always keeping in mind the desired end result.
So the first thing that is just popping into my head is the difference, and we may get to this as some of our discussion opens up tonight, but if we're talking about a management style of the alpha management style, the beta style, the omega style, and then we throw communication style into that whole mix, where do we end up?
Well, you know, it's so basic to understand the elements, because we were discussing here earlier that the fires want to give information, perhaps, but so they think once they have spoken, communication has taken place. But that is not necessarily that's not necessarily how it happens. So to be a true communicator, the key word there is commune and community, which means an exchange, a multiple exchange that's almost on an equal playing field. So if you have someone that's talking down to you, that's not communication. That's ordering. And there's so many cartoons about communication, and there's so many stories. I'm thinking in the Bible how mankind started getting really smart and building a Tower of Babel, and God said, man, if they can keep understanding one another, there's no limit to what they can do, so we better have them start talking in different languages. Mm-hmm. So there's a key element there, if you will, of knowing that power in teamwork comes from being able to speak the same language and communicate effectively. I'm also thinking of the cartoon of someone going on and on talking to a dog, and the dog, all the dog hears is blah, 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 Fido, blah, 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 Fido. And I think many times leaders and team members are communicating that way, particularly when you have different elements sitting there listening their particular value set to a discussion. So you need to be aware of who is at the table and what their values are in order to communicate effectively with them.
That's a great question. How does a leader, the Omega leader, go about understanding and mining and connecting with the values of her audience?
Well, I think that the first thing is to The ironic thing is to be an effective communicator, you have to stop talking and listen. And there's three levels of listening, and we teach this in our coaching, our coach training, that the first listening skill is what's being said. The second level of listening is the body language. And the third level of listening is the context that is going on around that person. So that listening should always be three layers deep, and then it also needs to go across four quadrants of, if you have a fire person at your table, they're going to want control, and they're going to want to know what in it that you're saying is going to give them control. If you have a water sitting at the table, they're going to want to know what in it that you're talking about is going to help them build relationships. If you have an earth sitting at the table, they're going to want to know what data they need in order to go into the action, because they are the longest term implementers of. And then certainly if you have a wind sitting at the table, you're lucky that they're sitting there at all, because they're thinking, how soon can they get out the door, or how soon can they get to talk so people will be paying attention to them. So understanding that, I think, is just vital. And we were sharing earlier of a recent situation we saw on television where somebody stood up and started shouting at in a very august setting, and it got a lot of media attention and really became a distraction from the larger issues that were happening. And if the Omega leader in this situation could have communicated to the group and understood that was fire talking, but now let's hear from the earths, let's hear from the waters, let's hear from the winds, because we need all elements to create something. And the fires many times set out to destroy what they cannot control. So I think it's very important that the Omega leader understands who's at the table and what their values are before they attempt to communicate.
As a fire, I'm trying not to take exception to what you just said. But just to prove I was listening to what you said. So I know that as a fire, I do struggle with that. I want to exchange information, and perhaps the people that are waters that I'm communicating with are wanting to exchange relationship, as you said. And I also note that I have many earths on my team who really just want the facts. And I'm sure the waters would like me to slow down and to listen. But probably the largest feedback I get from my team members are the earths who are saying, stop being so long-winded. They just the facts, ma'am, just the facts. So I have this information in my head. I know I need to listen more to my waters. I know I need to be quiet and really boil things down, drill things down for my earth. Yet, when it push comes to shove and my feet hit the road, I don't act on what I know in my head. What advice can you give me to be cognizant of that? What practical direction can you give me in terms of applying that knowledge on a daily basis when I'm communicating with my community?
Well, I think that you need to visualize positive results, and you need to take time, not you, but we only, but to visualize what is the positive outcome. And you can, in a single sentence, address every one of those concerns and then look at that person as you state that component that they need to hear. So it's not that you have to spend, 30 minutes with the waters and then, there's another 10 minutes with the earths and there goes your 15-minute speech. So it's being very clear about what you need to say, what the result is that you want, and then practicing it in your mind before you launch into it. And, it's the effectiveness of, I just watched a guy do a demonstration. He broke 75 boards. And before he started, he just looked at his hand, closed his eyes, and I could only imagine what he was thinking. And then he just went, chop, 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 and they all just disappeared. How much conditioning had gone into that, how much mental preparation and physical preparation had gone into that very visible demonstration of effective communication with the board. So it takes practice and it takes preparation. And I think that's where a lot of leaders fall down, is they do not prepare and they do not think that other people need to listen. They just need to be told. That's communication.
That resonates recently with something I was told about when in preparing a presentation or even preparing just communication, that leader should spend four times more time of the preparation than the actual interaction. So
yes.
If I have a 5-minute meeting, I need to have spent at least four times the amount of time, a half hour or more, planning what I want to come up with. That
yes.
Was very, very helpful.
Well, I was sitting here thinking about this concept of what you were just describing here in the Omega leader's ability to survey a situation. Obviously, there's tons of tools to help a leader get their head around communication, effective communication, creating winning communication. I mean, the bookshelves are full of that information. What moved you, Lori Beth, to create this tool, the Path Elements Profile, as a way to help Omega leaders communicate more quickly, more effectively, more intuitively? Your tool seems to be on the cutting edge of simplicity, which is one of the ways that you write. And so your tool kind of goes that direction. Tell us about your decision to create that tool for leaders.
Well, there's two things. One, that I look to Jesus as the role model of an effective team builder and an effective communicator. And he spoke very short sentences. He told stories. He engaged the people. He always fed them, you know, made sure that nobody had to be hungry while they were listening to him. So there were just some basic things about, you know, the rear end can only absorb as much as it can when
Good
someone's
point.
Talking. But
Good point.
So Jesus as a leader has always been my role model for communicator. The other thing, if you look at Genesis 1:1-3, it says, in the beginning was the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the water, and then God spoke and said, light be, and light was. And as I contemplated that, I thought, everything in the universe was created from those elements, earth, water, wind, and fire. And then looking through all of Scripture, it just, you know, you had the sons of thunder. People were even naming each other. Mm. It's just prevalent throughout the personalities and how he dealt with each person. I personally think that Doubting Thomas was probably an earth who needed to see the wounds and put his... he needed the rational explanation.
Mm-hmm.
I probably think that Peter was maybe a little bit of a wind, the first one to jump out of the boat, the first one to show off, I'll never leave it, you know, very dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus, impulsive, and Jesus dealt with him three times to bring him down to reality and then said, you will be my rock. So there's transformation that can take place through effective listening. And as we've worked with the elements and dealt with it, I mean, I'm constantly learning. You said earlier I've perfected the method, and I am a student of it. And I was sharing before the show that I've been trying to reach this person for 3 weeks and emails, and then he thought that he was supposed to call me and I was supposed to call him anyway. So by the time I finally reached him, I had a list of 16 things that I wanted to talk to him about, and I was ready to just jump into it, and I was already a little frustrated. I'd never met the man, but I wanted to have a long-term, effective relationship, working relationship with him. And the first question he asked me was, so, how's it going? What are you doing these days? Where are you living? What did you do this summer? And I just went, whoa. This man is a water. And my fire thought, oh, brother, is he going to be effective in what I need? And so later on I asked a question. He said, oh, I've got about 150 friends in that industry. And I thought, water, you know, he
sure.
takes the time to right. build a relationship. So if you keep in mind what I wanted was someone who could build relationships for me,
right.
then slowing, realizing what his pace was and slowing and adapting to it rather than just pushing through
sure.
with my, I got 15 minutes and chop, chop.
Wow.
And if I can just share a story about Shelley, when her eyes are getting really big, but when... Vicki and Elisa, when they met her, Shelley kept saying, I don't have time for this. And then they met separately, and they thought she had terminal cancer because they thought that her clock was ticking and that she was so driven because she literally didn't have time. There was a concern there. And, you know, it's just Shelley's fire component kicking in. So that's an affectionate story that we share about that.
So, Lori, but... Yeah, and I remember that conversation. you mentioned that you have to have three levels of communication, you know, what is being said, the body language, and the context. And
obviously it's a discipline that you need to be first being exposed to realize that there are three spheres and also to be to train yourself. Like you just mentioned, you put your brakes when you had an agenda, but you noticed that the other person was not ready to deal with the issues, but wanted to have the relationship contact first. So, as a business person that you are, and whenever you you're dealing with a different culture, I don't know if you have dealt with people from different cultures. Even from one state to the other one, the southern state might be totally different than if you're dealing with somebody from New York, for example.
Right.
As a business person, what, how can you adjust based on the culture, not only the person, but the culture that that person
has? Well, that's the contextual listening, and because there's the element of that person, but there's also the culture, which is the context in which they were raised. And again, to be an effective communicator, you have to have studied that person. That's the ultimate respect, is to study and look at them with wonder and awe and try to gain a respect for them in order to understand their culture. So, you know, you were sharing earlier with the show that Americans are often seen by other cultures as being very brash, and indeed we are. I think Americans as a culture are perceived by other cultures as being winds and fires. And so when we're dealing with cultures that have been here for thousands and thousands of years, and our country's, what, 200 plus years old, they just think, who are these people telling what to do and how things are?
Mm-hmm.
So I think the hallmark of communication is respect, and studying and preparation before you begin the communication.
Yeah, that's very interesting because also, as an American, you might perceive other cultures as slow.
Right?
Right. Oh, man, these guys, they're not ready for it. And I like what you said about the respect because really there's not such a thing that culture or this other culture is in a better position and is higher. If you are doing business internationally, for example, you have to do your due diligence, study the culture, study the things like space, the timing, the tempo of the conversation, when to bring up the what you want.
Right.
And things like that. So I'm really... this is a subject that calls my attention and is so challenging every single day because I don't think we're conscious of being prepared to read the other person, to see what the other person needs to hear. What's my goal of this communication? How can I convey my message in such a way that is well received by the other party? And especially if you have agendas that are completely different.
Right.
When you're in a room and you have, let's put a scenario, you're in a room, you're a wind, and you have two fires, one earth, and their agendas are not totally in line with yours.
Right.
So that's a challenge in every single level.
Right. Well, and Vicki, you're the expert on this. You know, you speak three languages and you've taught international business at the university level, and you're at a very high level right now dealing with a company that speaks how many languages in your company?
More than five.
More than five, and cultures, 20 cultures represented, so this is very near and dear to your heart. You know, I'm a Texas gal, and we're our own country. But so, you know, I have in front of me the New Science of Health, which is put out by Discover Magazine, and there's a picture of chromosomes, and each chromosome has a little bud of light. Everybody's looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just beautiful. The chromosomes are kind of a cobalt blue on a dark black background, and there's little buds of light. Those little buds of light are called the telomerases, which are the points of communication between the chromosomes. And that's the docking point between this chromosome and that chromosome, And if the telomerases are not there, if the points of light are not there, those chromosomes cannot connect. And so what's beautiful about this picture to me is that it's literally a point of light, which is intelligence, which is understanding, which is a lightness of being in order to communicate mm-hmm. with someone, rather than trying to manipulate, or the Machiavelli, you know, manipulate people to do dark things. That's not even how we're designed as at a cellular level. It's points
right.
of light for communication. So, again, the core is respect, preparation, and being willing. And I think humility mm-hmm. goes a long way in communication. Mm-hmm. And that's something I think Americans can do a lot better at learning.
I was really impacted by your words about, you know, just for preparation and taking into consideration the elemental stuff such as that. I think that, and you referenced this in terms of, we think of communication in terms of expressing, and that communication is two ways, so receptive. And in that is monitoring the other person's comprehension of the message. So given the importance of preparation, given the importance of being cognizant of the three levels that one needs to consider in communication, what practical advice can you give in terms of helping to monitor the effectiveness of communication going in both directions?
Well, there's many, many books on this subject, active listening, reflective listening, and I think that I'm sitting here remembering that I majored in communications at UT Austin, and the first course I took, Marshall McLuhan wrote the book on communications, and the one thing I learned in that course was if there's two parties in a communication and one person sends a communication and the other person does not receive it,
right.
it is the responsibility of the sending party to make sure that it is received. It is not the responsibility of the receiving party to receive it. That is a shift, because what we tend to do is we blame the other person
sure.
when they don't hear us or they don't get it. But it is our responsibility as the sender of communications to make sure that we are at a frequency that they get.
Mm-hmm.
And so to begin to respond to your question of
how do we know?
Body language, mm-hmm. nodding heads, people leaning forward, and checking in. Now tell me what you just heard. Am I saying this right? You know, Jesus he didn't always act like he was a know-it-all. Now, how are we going to feed these people? So I think asking questions,
mm-hmm.
tell me what you just heard. Am I saying this right? Am I getting through to you? And maybe that's a female style. Men
mm-hmm.
probably wouldn't talk like that. But
which is what we're talking about.
Yeah, the female style. And maybe, and I've read books that say that women shouldn't be asking so many questions. See it as a way of gaining cooperation, and men see it
mm-hmm.
as a sign of weakness.
Hmm.
But if you ask a question and people get it,
right.
then aren't you ahead of the game as opposed to bullying through and the
right.
people really not getting it?
And I guess as you're speaking, I was this is the fact that I'm referring to feedback, that sometimes some people I've encountered are maybe it perhaps is tone, but how can one, is it, well, what I'm trying to ask is, are there different considerations for the different elements in terms of style of receptivity?
Yes. Waters, you cannot be effective shouting at Waters.
Mm-hmm.
They will evaporate and disappear, or they will be passive aggressive. They have done study after study that showing when you flare fires at Waters, you will not get cooperation. Get evaporation.
Okay.
So that's
nice.
That's the first thing. And then I think with the other elements, again, not to keep going back to preparation, but are you communicating with them in a way that they are getting it?
I guess what I was asking, for instance, you're referring a little bit to reflective listening. So sometimes when I've engaged in reflective listening, I said, well, what I hear you saying is this. There are certain elements that are not click that style.
Yes, that's
type,
not going to
reflect. Checking in, and so I guess that was what my question. I wasn't
very
communicating
good.
Very well. My question I perceived from your response.
Yes.
So what considerations can one take? How can one know what would be the proper way of checking in and monitoring? Is there a correlation with the elements? Is it a gender issue? How can one know?
Well, I think that's, now I do understand the question better. Well, when you think about reflective listening, and this may be a breakthrough thought, reflective listening is designed by Waters, for Waters, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Look at the term, reflective listening.
Right.
So that's going to work with Waters.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to work with an earth. They don't want to reflect on anything. They
yeah.
want a checklist.
Right.
So with an earth, maybe the listening skill would be, these are the 3 points I want you to remember, A, B, C, the bullet points, you know, the facts, and show me your notes,
okay.
or let's compare notes at the end of the meeting.
Yeah.
And then the fires, you're going to know whether they're with you or not, because they're going to be cheering or booing,
or,
yeah, challenging you. And then the winds, again, they're going to look for where the human contacts, where's the fun in this
okay.
for them. So reflective listening to a wind, what's going to work about that is, are you making eye contact with them?
Okay.
But that's the only part of it that they're going to really respond
to. How
can
you know if a wind is
a Well, how long do you need them to be with you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know.
So maybe that's the time consideration. You got a short window with a wind, so take advantage of it.
Exactly. And
be the space too.
Yeah.
They need space.
Yeah. And you could say, we can circle back on this next week. I mean,
mm-hmm.
if you read like the Four Elements of Success, there's vocabulary that people will respond to
mm-hmm.
when you start using words like that with the earth. You could say, we're going to drill down on this.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go deeper with this.
And the report. Huh?
Yeah. So it's, you know, communication is amazing. And I think the way that you know that the communication is happening is that people are with you and they are clear about what is expected and what they need to do for the team. When you don't have clear communication, you have something else called chaos.
And again, when you're at one-on-one, if you read on, you are a public speaker, so you speak to the masses, and in those masses, might be 30% win. So how do you do your presentation that make sure that they're getting the message?
Yeah. Well, as a public speaker, we try to know what the group is. For example, if I'm speaking to a group of engineers, then I'm going to make sure that my PowerPoints and my slides are in order and not try to tell too many stories. If I'm talking to a group of winds, I'm going to have a lot of interaction. I'm going to have stories. If I'm talking to fires, I know that I've got 5 minutes to get their attention, and I better get it and get them the information they need as quickly as possible. And for the waters, I need to be nodding and smiling and including human stories that they can relate to. So, and it as a wind, we look at people for the responses, and we'll end up going towards the people who are responding. And I talk about Moses and Joshua, how Joshua was losing the battle when he noticed that Moses' hands weren't raised in the air, so they actually had to bring in 2 people to prop him up so that he could be. So there's a nonverbal communication of support that is very important for the winds. Are you with me? Show me the cheering arms, and then I'll go, I'll fight to the death on your behalf. So this has been a fun topic, and I'm sure we could talk a lot more about it. Hopefully we've communicated something of value to you. Thank you tonight.
And thanks again for joining us here at Studio G Live. Coming from San Diego County in San Diego, California, we appreciate you visiting the Blog Talk Radio with Lori Beth and the team here from Studio G. We look forward to next week's topic, and the next few weeks we're going to be talking about celebration as an Omega leader. How does an Omega leader celebrate? So this week, as we sign off and you begin to practice winning communication with your team, take a look at Lori Beth's book, The Four Elements of Success, as a way to bring a tool, if you're not familiar with it, into your team so that you can improve on what it means to be a reflective, effective communicator. Thanks again, and we'll talk to you next week. Thanks.